Hare Krishna. Very nice to be back to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And there are so many senior Vaishnavas present here. Prabhupada disciples, spiritual masters. So, I feel really humbled. So I need all your blessings to have any ability to say anything in such an exalted presence. So today we will continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12. We'll be finishing up the chapter of the killing of the demon Agasura, starting from text 40 and then text 43 is on the board because it has longest purport. But we'll be reading until text 44 because this is the final text of the chapter which has no purport. So we'll finish the chapter today. Text 40. Sri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again inquired from Shukadeva Goswami to hear about those pious activities. Text 41. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present? Lord Sri Krishna performed the pastime of killing Agasura during his Komara age. How then, during his Pauganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently? 42. O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I'm very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada gave short purport to this verse. Krishna has many potencies, Parashya Saktir Vividaya Shuyate, Shweta Shweta Rukmanishad 6.8. The description of Agasura was disclosed after 1 year. Some act of Krishna's potency must have been involved. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was very curious to know about this, and he requested Shukadeva Goswami to explain it. And so text 43. Translation per Vice Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, my spiritual master, although we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very confidential. It's not ordinarily possible to hear such activities unless one is very, very fortunate. It is true, is it not? Because there are so many people living in London. And how many people have the opportunity to hear Bhagavatam? Just a handful, right? So we're really fortunate. Parikshit Maharaj placed himself as Kshatra Bandavaha, which means the lowest of the Kshatriyas. The qualities of the Kshatriya are described in Bhagavad Gita, and although the general quality of the Kshatriya is Ishvara Bhava, the tendency to rule, a Kshatriya is not supposed to rule over a Brahmana. Thus, Maharaj Parikshit regretted that he had wanted to rule over the Brahmanas and had therefore been cursed. He considered himself the lowest of the Kshatriya, of the Kshatriyas, Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatram Karma Svabhavajam, Bhagavad Gita 18:43. There was no doubt that Maharaj Parikshit had the good qualities of a Kshatriya, but as a devotee, he presented himself with submissiveness and humility as the lowest of the Kshatriyas, remembering his act of wrapping a dead serpent around the neck of a Brahmana. A student and disciple has the right to ask the Guru about any confidential service, and it is the duty of the Guru to explain these confidential matters to his disciple. And we'll read the final text of the chapter as well, 44. Shri Suta Uvacha Itham Sma Prishtasatu Badarayanis Tat Smaritanananta Krita Keli Kendriya Kritrat Punar Latta Bahir Trishi Shanai Pratyahatam Bhagavatottamottama. Shri Suta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami in this way, Shukadeva Goswami, immediately remembering subject matter about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna Katha. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demon Agasura. All right, maybe we can read the translations of this text one more time. Shri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about these pastimes of Krishna, who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again inquired from Shukadeva Goswami to hear about those pious activities. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present? Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Komara age. How then, during this Poganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently? O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I'm very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna. O my Lord, my spiritual master, although we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami in this way, Shukadeva Goswami, immediately remembering subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensor perception and began to speak to Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna Katha. So this is the conclusion of the chapter, how Krishna killed the demon Agasura. And of course, all these pastimes of Krishna are so amazing that it's even hard to imagine them. You know, it's like no one with any amount of imagination would come up with something like that. Huge serpent strangled from inside. It's all right to strangle, you know, someone from outside, but it's only Krishna who could come up with such an idea to go inside the serpent and expand himself and, you know, choke him up to death with his own body. Krishna really likes to do things which not only could, you know, there is no chance to imitate them, there is no even chance to imagine something like that. Only Krishna could come up, you know, with this, all these ideas, like holding a mountain for 7 days and nights, or choking something up, choking someone up with his own body. These pastimes are so unbelievable that people think, oh, this is imagination. But of course, it is happening because they don't really believe that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Because Krishna appeared in a seemingly human form, apparently human form. They mistake him to be a human being. And of course, people like different stories, or nowadays movies, right, about some extraordinary human beings who perform amazing feats, right? But they really like it because they can, to some extent, identify themselves with that, you know. They think, yeah, there is a possibility of me doing something like that. But when they hear about the pastimes of Krishna, there is no chance. Krishna is beyond imitation by any conditioned soul. Of course, the only thing they foolishly trying to imitate is rasa dance. But again, Krishna expanded himself into so many forms, but these guys, they cannot do it. So it's very poor imitation. And as far as other pastimes, they can't even like begin to imitate that, right? Like what to speak of holding a mountain for 7 days and nights. They wouldn't be able even to hold a matchbox for 7 days and nights. Forget the matchbox, you know, also like a matchbox on the tip of your pinky for 7 days and nights. Forget the matchbox, even like holding the hand up for 7 days and nights. I would want to see that person who did that. So it's like Krishna's pastimes are absolutely unmatching. And so, when conditioned souls, they read about these pastimes, they become so upset that they cannot even like slightly imitate them that they declare them to be the figment of imagination. And it's really amazing how they can delude themselves like that, because Krishna is a historical person who came to this planet a little bit over 5,000 years ago, and there are so many evidences of his presence on this planet. And still, they deny that. Despite of a billion people on the earth being convinced about that, some people still don't believe in this. So this is really strange how they cannot believe in Krishna. That Krishna is real. And not only he was present on earth, but anyone who is serving Krishna and who is chanting Hare Krishna is entering into the direct relationship with the Lord. And so, that's why devotees are so interested to hear about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And, of course, the interest to hear about Krishna's pastimes varies. That some people could hear for 5 minutes, some for an hour. But we can see that on the topmost level of perfection, like sages of Naimisharanya, they were prepared with great enthusiasm to hear about Krishna's pastimes for 1,000 years, right? And as far as Maharaj Parikshit is concerned, also for 7 days and nights, without eating or drinking, he was in complete ecstasy, hearing about Krishna, and feeling very humble at the same time, but asking Shukadeva Goswami a very relevant question in regards to this particular Leela. And the question was that how come that Krishna performed such an amazing feat as killing Agasura in such an unusual way, very easily, and all the coward boys, normally they're very, very enthusiastic to speak about Krishna's pastimes. But here, they kept quiet for a year, right? They didn't say a word. Something was wrong, right? So Maharaj Parikshit immediately spotted that, and he wanted some clarification. He had a doubt. Yesterday we were discussing with a few devotees about doubts, that doubts can be very useful in our spiritual development. Because actually the entire Shastra, you take Bhagavatam, take Bhagavad Gita, any scripture, is just a series of doubts and removal of doubts, right? Someone is placing a doubt, and someone is dispelling the doubt. So the entire scripture, all the Vedic literatures are compiled in this way. So without doubts, we would never be able to advance spiritually. But we can advance, we can take benefit from doubts only if they are dispelled. But doubts are also compared to demons by Srila Prabhupada in the Purport. And some devotees would know very well. Under which circumstance the doubt can be very harmful and not helpful at all in our spiritual development. Under which circumstance the doubt would act like a demon, destroying our Krishna consciousness. Anyone? Yes. Huh? Well, this is one type of a doubt, but any kind of doubt, under which circumstances the doubts can be very harmful. Yes, that's right. Yes. If they are kept within, if they are not expressed, and if they are not dispelled, they can grow inside, and they can destroy our Krishna consciousness, right? And so, this is a very important model for guru-disciple relations or any Vaishnava relations, because any Vaishnava relations are based on learning about Krishna consciousness, right? Matchitam adgata pranavadayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita what is the most pleasing activity for any devotee. Matchita, thinking about me, Krishna says, madgata prana, and dedicating their lives for my service, right? This is what devotees want. Devotees want to do something for Krishna, right? Why? The text 40, this is something we should be very inquisitive about. Maybe before, you know, talking on the subject, I should place a doubt in your mind. And the doubt is that why Maharaj Parikshit and other exalted devotees are so ecstatic by hearing about Krishna, and then why are we sleeping during the Bhagavatam class? Or if we don't sleep, we distract ourselves with something else, like messaging to someone or checking the email, something, you know, whatever. Okay, some vibration is going on over the head, but, you know, I have my own business to mind. I'm just, you know, killing time before the breakfast. Of course, it's not the case for everybody, I'm sure. Many devotees are sincerely willing to learn, and they are very appreciative. But it's not For those of us who don't have that great taste for hearing about Krishna, it's a good question to ask, right? Why is it? Why Krishna is so attractive? I mean, if Krishna is so attractive, and the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes are so attractive, why am I not attracted? Right? What's wrong? And of course, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that very clearly. He was saying, Krishna is like a huge magnet. Magnet is attracting metal, right? And the stronger the magnet is, the stronger his pulling force. And we're like metal. Actually, this is what this is the analogy Prahlad Maharaj gives in his prayers. Right? He says that Krishna is like a magnet, and I'm just like a piece of metal. I cannot help. I'm just pulled towards Krishna. I can't do anything about it. But then, Krishna is such a powerful magnet, and we are not attracted. And Srila Prabhupada explains why. He says, even the most powerful magnet cannot, pull in a piece of metal if it is covered by rust, right? Rust is preventing the connection between metal and magnet. And so he says, in the same way, because we have been in this material world for so long, we've covered by rust. What is the rust? Lust. Lust is rust. And anger is rust. And envy and pride and illusions, greed. These are all different types of rust we're covered with. And so we need to become purified. And again, the process of purification is Cheto Darpana Marjanam, chanting the holy names. And Bhagavatam is nothing but an expansion of the holy name. It's the holy name explained in great details. And so, again, this is the general principle, but in details, the detail is very, very interesting. And the detail in here, which is quite important, is mentioned in text 40. It says that Krishna saved Maharaj Parikshit in his childhood, in the womb of his mother, from imminent death. Svaratu, this is the words used here. Svaratu of Krishna, who was his savior within the womb of his mother, Uttara. So Maharaj Parikshit was saved by Krishna. And so that's why he had great interest to know about Krishna, right? And so we can understand that our interest to hear about Krishna and learn about Krishna is very much dependent on the quality of our relationship with him, right? Because actually Krishna is saving us all the time. But it's only, and helping us all the time, and taking care of us all the time. But it depends on us, how much we recognize that. How much do we recognize what Krishna is doing for us? Like Srila Prabhupada said, it's very easy to become Krishna conscious. Very, very easy. starting with very simple thing, like drinking water. Everybody is drinking water every day. Without water, we would die, right? And Krishna says, I am the taste of water. And so who is giving us water, such a nice water to drink? That's Krishna. And so every time we take a water and we drink a water, if we could think of Krishna with gratitude, we could become Krishna conscious in no time, right? But the problem is that, you know, we're unconscious. That's the problem. It's very interesting. I heard the quote that first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious, right? We've heard that this is coming from Srila Prabhupada. And because of our unconscious state of existence, this is material life, like if you sleep, you see dreams, right? But nothing's really happening. These are only dreams. So this is like living in the material life, that we're completely unconscious and we're just dreaming of something. Like one man was riding on the donkey and he started dreaming about, you know, some good things in life, etc., and got completely distracted from, you know, the donkey, controlling the donkey, and he let the donkey go as he pleased. And so the donkey started riding, running very fast. And that man was not noticing that because he was distracted by his, you know, fantasies. And then the donkey jumped over something. And then the man flew out of the, you know, flew out. And then while he was in the air, he was thinking, whoa, I am flying in the air. Did I become an angel? Did God made me into an angel and gave me wings to fly? But next moment after he landed, he realized that he didn't become angel. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. So it is like that. This is how it's happening in our material life. We're dreaming of something, right? And we're just absorbed in our fantasies. And next thing we know is, you know, very painful blow from Maya. Bang. And we, you know, we're suffering like anything. So that's the material life. And so it's all happening just because of our unconscious state of existence. Because of our unconscious state, we're missing so much of a good fortune. Like there is a story of a king who wanted to benefit one man who was a beggar. But in Vedic culture, there is an interesting element that people wanted to benefit others, but they didn't want to be glorified for their good deeds. They wanted to perform anonymous, good deeds. And so that king, he wanted to help this beggar, but anonymously. And he knew that this beggar was passing by some narrow, you know, street while going to his job. You know, the job of the beggar is to sit at the street corner. So he was diligently going to do his job every day and taking the same route. And King knew that he's taking that route every day, so he decided, somehow maybe he saw that from the, you know, balcony of his palace, that the beggar was passing this way every day. And so the king decided to place a bag full of gold on the beggar's path right before he would pass by to make sure that he would collect that bag. And so he sent his servant. The servant placed his bag, that bag over there on the beggar's path. And the king was watching from the balcony because he wanted to see the fun, how the beggar would become blissful, discovering so much gold, and all his good, bad fortune would disappear. And he was watching, and then the beggar was approaching that narrow street, and the beggar was thinking to himself, every day I'm taking this route to my street corner, and, I seem to know that route so well. Would I be able to go through with my eyes closed, and just for, to be curious? And then he closed his eyes, and yes, sure enough, he went through without bumping into anything, including the bag of gold. And so he just, passed by that bag of gold and went back to his street corner. And the king was saying, oh my God, what happened? But we can understand that if that beggar would keep his eyes open, he would meet with his great fortune. So this is the model. This is what's happening in our lives. If we go through our lives not really understanding what's going on, if we just do things mechanically, we are missing so much of a good fortune in Krishna consciousness. That's why it's very interesting why Srila Prabhupada chose to name the society Krishna Consciousness, right? Of course, it is based on very famous verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, where this verse is coming from originally. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyata Yadi Kuto Pilapyate Tatra Lolyamapi Mulyamekalam Janma Koti Sukritana Labhyate. Maybe some of the senior Vaishnavas can help us. What's the origin of this verse by Srila Rupa Goswami? That's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was always quoting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That he made this. He in Padyavali. Okay, yes, thank you. So this is a very beautiful verse, of course, because it is explaining what Krishna consciousness is and how to develop it. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, that the opportunity to develop our relationship with Krishna is extremely valuable and extremely rare. And there is only one price we can pay to have Krishna consciousness. And what is that price? Tatra lolyam api mulyamekalam. The extreme, intense greed to have it, right? Lolyam. So even greed can be used very nicely in Krishna consciousness. And actually, Narottam Das Thakur says how he wants to use greed. Lobha, sadhu sangha, harikatha. That I will apply my greed for hearing about Krishna in the company of Vaishnavas, right? I'll be very greedy for that. And so, because Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by many lives of pious activities. So, Krishna Bhakti Rasa, this is where Srila Prabhupada got his idea for naming the society Krishna consciousness. But it's very interesting that it's Krishna consciousness, not something external. So it's really important for us to become conscious of Krishna. And Krishna is everything in our lives. Krishna, Mata Krishna, Pita Krishna, Dana Prana. Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father, and Krishna is the greatest wealth of our lives. And it's not that only Maharaj Parikshit got so much mercy. He was saved by Krishna. Every single of us was saved by Krishna and is still saved. We're still getting saved and fed and looked after. And there are so many things Krishna is doing for us every single day, every single hour, every single minute and second. And it's only the matter of realizing that and feeling, if not love, at least gratitude and desire to give something back, the desire to do something for Krishna. So that this is, apparently, this is where it's coming from. Matchita matgata pranabodayanta parasparam katayanta shamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. Thinking of Krishna, discussing about Krishna. Katayanta shamam nityam, eternally or regularly. And feeling great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna, right? Trying to understand what can we do to pay Krishna back, right? To do something for Krishna. Krishna is doing everything for us, and what can I do to please Krishna? Hare Krishna.